again. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 8, we'll be looking at some things. You know, this morning we were talking about religion and adultery and how that you, so many people can and are caught up in worshiping in their imagination. And religion must never become a substitute for relationship. And that's what's happened over the years is people have been indoctrinated into religious mindsets, and then the religion has become what they enter into some type of relationship, I suppose, without ever entering into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Israel had this same problem of worshiping out of their imagination. I want to, that's what this 8th chapter of Ezekiel is all about. I want to read this to you. "And it came to pass in the 6th year, the 6th month, and the 5th day of the month, as I sat in my house, the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld in low likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins upward as the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks toward the north, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, who provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now, the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes, the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image that, it says image of jealousy, actually is the image that provokes God to jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, do you see what they're doing? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But I turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig now in the hole, pardon me, in the wall. And when I had dug in the wall, behold, a door. And he said to me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the ancients of Israel do in the dark? Now listen to this. Every man in the chambers of his imagery, or the chambers of his imagination. Okay? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the earth. He said to me, Turn yet again, and you will see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which is toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn yet again, and you will see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, the door of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar, where 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they fill the land with violence, have hath returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore I will also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Though they cry in my ear with a loud voice, yet I will not hear." Now, I read that just to show you things that we were talking about this morning, how people have a God of their own imagination, even though they may be going through the motions. You understand, these people in the temple are going through the motions of worshiping God. They're offering incense. They're offering sacrifices. But God, what God's showing Ezekiel is what's going on in their heart. And this is the thing, is what's going on in a person's heart. There's a lot of people that go to church on Sundays, but what's going on in their heart? There's a lot of preachers preaching messages, but what's going on in their heart? And God looks at the heart, not at the externals. And so when we're looking at truth and supernatural, God is looking inside here, not what we're doing out here, but what's going on in my imagination. Am I actually worshiping God, or am I worshiping a fabricated God? And too many people are worshiping a fabricated God, a God of their own imagination. And God wants us to come to the knowledge of truth. And there's a difference between believing and knowing truth. There's a difference between believing and knowing. Once you know something, that's beyond believing, you understand. Truth is not something to just superficially believe. Just looking at things on the surface and say, well, that looks good, I'll believe that. But truth has to be researched and established as a fact with supporting and convincing evidence. And the only truth that has supporting and convincing evidence is that which is found in the Word of God. You understand? The Word will support itself. Religions, traditions, they will hand you down the beliefs of the elders and all that. And Jesus said, it makes God's Word ineffective. Following the beliefs of people, we have to know in our own hearts what truth is, not what somebody says it is. So the way to discover absolute truth is by studying the Bible and by listening to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, if indeed He lives on the inside of us. And if He's not living on the inside of us, we're already in deception, because we cannot naturally discern, we spiritually discern, to know what truth is. According to John 17:17, God's Word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through your Word. Your Word is truth. So, it's the Word of God, or the truth of God, that sets us apart from the world and religion in our beliefs and standards. Now note, I said, and religion. Because when you're following God in spirit and in truth, your beliefs will be different than those of religions. You with me? These denominations write their own handbooks. Other religions, they write their own Bibles, if you will. But they're not true. They'll have some truths intermingled in them. God's Word is absolute truth, and that's what we have to use as a measuring rod. That's our standard. So that sets us apart. Oh, so you're one of those. You actually believe the Bible. And a lot of people today are saying the Bible's outdated. No, God's not outdated. God was here before you got here. God will be here after you leave. And so will truth. So it's our benefit to learn truth. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus declares that the Spirit of truth, being the Holy Spirit, will lead us into all truth. He will lead us into all truth. So if we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, we'll not be deceived. Well, what if you don't have the Holy Spirit leading you? You're set up for deception. So we put great emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Neither the Word of truth nor the Spirit of truth can be deceived. Consequently, we need to spend much time subjecting ourselves both to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not talking about mystical stuff. I'm not talking about getting over here in a corner or a cave and opening yourself up to demonic spirits, like so many people have done. I'm talking about knowing truth, the Word, and then you do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, you won't leave yourself open to other spirits, but you'll leave yourself open to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? If you're doing it God's way, and one who knows the truth of God will not be deceived by supernatural phenomena. And so many people today are seeking the supernatural, and they're being deceived by supernatural things that are not God. Yet they look good. They're supernatural, all right. You understand that counterfeit messages will have embedded within them portions of truth? You can't get a person just drink poison. You've got to sell them on it. You've got to put some stuff in there to make it enticing. That's what religion does. You know who's behind all this? Obviously Satan. Deceiving people. Because, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it, people are lazy. They don't want to study the Bible for themselves. They want somebody else to study the Bible for them. And if you're too lazy to study the Bible, you're already open for deception, because if you're dependent on other people just may tell you wrong stuff. Good possibility that you get wrong stuff. So we have to know the truth about the supernatural. We have to know the truth about the spiritual realm. That God lives in the spiritual realm, so does the devil. You better be able to distinguish between the two. That's what's going to protect us from the deception and the enticements of evil spirits who are disguised as ministers of righteousness, and they use the name of Jesus as a cloak. It's amazing to me how many people I've heard say this, and they say that Jesus said, when I know that Jesus didn't say it, because it's contrary to the Word of God, and Jesus is not going to say something that doesn't agree with the Scriptures. So we have to know the Scriptures. And if you know truth, know the Word of God in its context, I must add, in its context, you'll be protected from demonic deception. Because demonic deception, it makes its appeal often through supernatural things. Lying wonders. Miracles. You know, at the beginning of this study, we read to you several scriptures where it talks about these evil spirits doing miracles. It's really something to think about. It's actually pretty sobering if you stop and think about what's going on today. There's a lot of supernatural stuff going on today. There's a lot of supernatural stuff that goes on in church services. But how much of it's God? If someone stands up and starts to speak, do you know the Spirit that's speaking? If your Holy Spirit is active on the inside of you, you'll know whether it's God speaking or just somebody talking, or if it's the devil speaking. If you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. I could say a lot about that, but I'm not going to go off on too far on a tangent there, but I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of stuff that's said that is not motivated by God. It's just motivated by a person's own heart. Jeremiah that had that problem in his day. And we'll probably talk about that. Well, I'll just talk about it here in a minute. How's that? Legitimate and illegitimate manifestations. And you have to know the difference between the two. Now, the problem we're having today is people are so extreme, they either accept all or reject all. And just because there is an illegitimate doesn't mean that everything else is illegitimate. You have to know what's true, what's genuine, and what isn't. And you're going to do that through relationship and fellowship with the Lord, through His Word and by His Spirit. Spiritual manifestations may be influenced by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, you look at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he lists those nine manifestations, those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, those things, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, faith, discerning of spirits, all these things are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Yet people say that that doesn't work today. That stuff's passed away. Well, you're already deceived. And when you take that stand, you can't be taught. So you'll remain in deception. You better know what's the Holy Spirit and what's demonic spirits. And then there are just people speaking out of their own heart, just out of the human spirit. Not holy, not demonic. That's just what they think. They've had an experience. Something happened this week or whatever, and they just talk out of their heart. Or they're telling you what they want. You know, some manifestations come from the speaker's heart, not the Lord. And it's that people who, they may profess to be prophets, but they just speak what they desire, and then they say, "The Lord said." In Jeremiah 14:14, 23:16, and 23:32, this is a problem. These prophets are coming and speaking to Judah, the nation of Judah, and they're speaking things out of their own heart, and they said, "The Lord says." Now, just to capsulize it, primarily what is being said is, we're not going to go into Babylonian captivity. The Lord says that there won't be an arrow shot against the city, all these types of things. And God says to Jeremiah, "Who are these prophets that are prophesying, the Lord says, when I didn't say?" And he goes on to say they're prophesying out of their hearts. You can read that in those three scriptures I gave you. Prophesying out of their own heart. Have you ever been to a conference that teaches you how to prophesy? I have, out of curiosity. I wanted to see what they were doing. And so, in this particular setting, they had us divide up in small groups. And then somebody would, they had a lot of many objects around the church, and so somebody would go up and get an object and then bring it back, and the group that I was in, they brought back this cup, like a mug you would drink coffee out of, and it had color and design on it. And so they tell you to take the cup. This is called divining, but it's not divine. They tell you to take that cup and look at that cup and look at the person in front of you and start telling that person positive things out of what you see from that cup. Now, what's inspiring you? The cup. Not the Holy Spirit. And you're going to call that prophecy? It's not prophecy of God. But people are being duped by this stuff all the time. Well, you know, the Bible talks about the school of the prophets, so we're going to teach you how to prophesy. No, you teach people the Word of God. You teach people to be open to the Holy Spirit. And if it's not the Spirit of God inspiring them, then it's not true prophecy. I don't have to tell you what to say. The Spirit of God tells you what to say. You understand? Then it's a true prophecy. Otherwise, something else is inspiring you. And people fall for this stuff, and then they go out, and they think they a prophet. And, well, they hit something. You know, I see, you know, there's going to be glorious days ahead. You've had blue days in the past, but there's going to be glorious days ahead. Well, that applied about anybody. You understand? I had a minister to tell me one time, the servant, this person was operating supposedly by gifts of spirit, and for whatever reason, I was out before the rest of the people came out of the sanctuary, and this person came out, and I was standing there, and this person had called some things out, and one of the things he had called out was a back problem. And he said to me, he said, if you call out a back problem, you get them every time. But yet you're going to tell the people God said. No, you're fishing. God didn't say a word. You're just saying things out of your own heart. Is there somebody in here that something's bothering you? Is anybody in here? Of course there's something that bothers people. Of course there's things that are going on. Any aches, any pains, you know. That's not God. Yet people are getting duped by these things and saying that's supernatural. Now, here's what is really deceiving people. God honors His Word. So if a person in good conscience responds to God and responds to the Word of God, if you'll believe God, God will heal you. They'll get healed. But it wasn't because of the shyster. This stuff's going on all the time. That's why people don't trust supernatural. But if you know the Spirit of God, you're not going to be concerned about that. You're going to know if it's the Spirit of God or not. I've had people to try to get me to respond. I'm not going to play your game. You understand? And then you can be pegged as a rebel or whatever. Well, call me what you want to, but I'm not interested in flesh trying to tell me something. I'm certainly not interested in the devil telling me something. The Spirit will bear witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the Holy Spirit. You understand? If you have the Holy Spirit in you and I have the Holy Spirit in me, the Spirit in me is going to bear witness to that. But if you're trying to speak to me out of another spirit, I'm not going to bear witness to it. You follow me? That's why it's so important to know the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so we don't get deceived. Just because a person uses the name of Jesus doesn't mean that he's speaking or acting under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Some use the name of Jesus just to validate what they say or do. As a matter of fact, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to look at this, and we'll begin reading with verse 21, Matthew chapter 7. It says, Jesus doing the speaking, says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now listen to this. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works or miracles? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Not that I used to know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Well, how did these things happen? Well, the name of Jesus has authority. The Word of God's true. God confirms His Word with the signs following. But just because a person quotes the Word of God doesn't mean that they're a follower of God. There's a lot of ministers that aren't followers of God. There's many ministers that have never been born again. As a matter of fact, there's some out there that have their testimonies out that they've pastored for 20 years and then get saved. But how many people got deceived along the way? Because they didn't know truth. Because they were depending on someone else to give them truth rather than to get in and study and find out the truth for themselves. I'm a person that I don't care who says it. I'm going to check it out. And if I hear somebody say something, I don't care how renowned the minister is. I'll just make myself a note. Check this out. And a lot of times I check things out and it's not the way they say it is. And a few times it is the way they say it is. Guard your heart with all diligence. Get in there and find out what the Scriptures have to say. There are some people who speak or act in the name of the Lord who are actually under demonic influence. But they want to make you think it's God. They operate by familiar spirit or whatever. Think about this. The pastor of a church of Satan. What's wrong with that statement? That's an oxymoron if there ever was. And all these people that, you know, that are operating under demonic influence, they don't all look like they came out of the zoo. They can be well-respected people. People that you would embrace, but you better know the spirit. Familiar spirits often operate under the guise of spiritual gifts. You have to know it. I could say a whole lot about that, but I think you're getting the picture. Demonic spirits have power. They can deceive people into thinking that the power displayed is the power of God. As a matter of fact, turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and let's look at a couple of verses. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. This is talking about Simon the sorcerer. Okay? So let's start with verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, who before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But thank God Philip preached to them, and they saw the light. So what are they doing? They're seeing a sorcerer do supernatural things, and say, "This is God." When it's not God at all. How many people today or saying things are God when God hasn't had anything to do with it? It's demonic. And it's sad that some people operate under the influence of the Spirit, and I believe some of them operate without even realizing what they're doing. They think they're ministers of the Lord because of the environment they've been in, what they've been subjected to, and they've been taught that it's truth when in reality it's a deception, it's not the truth. Somebody deceived them, so now they're deceiving other people. You have to know the truth for yourself. Many of you know that if you've experienced something, you can't be convinced that it's otherwise. If you've experienced it. Taste and see the Lord is good. Now, there are illegitimate manifestations, but you can't reject all the manifestations because of the illegitimacy. The Holy Spirit's real, and the Holy Spirit is active in the lives of those who are truly dedicated to the kingdom of God. Now, when I say kingdom of God, I'm saying the people that God is ruling. That's really what the kingdom is all about. The kingdom is about dominion. So if I'm in the kingdom of God, if I'm truly in the kingdom of God, then that means God's ruling my life. And so if God's ruling my life, then the Holy Spirit will be active in my life, because the way God works in us today is by His Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Now, spiritual gifts must not be rejected because of abuse and deception, but they must be judged. There was a point in my life that I got to where I absolutely despised spiritual manifestations. People stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord," and it's like pouring ice water on you. You knew good and well it wasn't God. But everybody's applauding it. What's wrong with this group of people? They don't know the Word. They don't know the Spirit. And so consequently, they're falling for stuff that's not God at all. We have to wake up. But then, God actually dealt with me. Out of the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 18. Despise not prophesying. Because I was despising it. Because it wasn't prophecy of God. It was people prophesying out of their own heart. Now, the Lord dealt with me about it, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That there couldn't be a counterfeit if there wasn't a truth. Don't reject the truth, because there's some counterfeit. So, you know, when I became a pastor and all, we taught on gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit, and I said, from now on, every manifestation, we're going to judge it. You know, it stopped all manifestations. And I'll bet it was probably 2 months before anybody had enough courage to speak. But when they did, I said, "All right, now let's judge it." And even the person was, I believe, weak knee. But I knew it was right. And it was a good teachable moment. And so we gave the criteria. Does this agree with the Word of God? Does the Spirit bear witness to this? Does it match the character of Jesus, His life and ministry? Judge them all that way. You understand? I don't care who says it, if I say it or anybody else says it. You judge them all that way. And you'll guard your heart. But it's amazing how you stopped about 90% of the manifestations. Why? Because it weren't God. Were they bad, mean people? No. Just people trying to be spiritual. But actually, going the opposite direction, it showed how unspiritual they were. Not sensitive to the Spirit of God, not knowing the Spirit of God. God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill His purpose for our lives. So it's extremely important that we embrace the Holy Spirit in His fullness, not rejecting any of His gifts. Now, we're in a time to where people don't want to embrace tongues. Now, I'll be the first to tell you there is major abuse. But I'm not going to tear out the 12th through the 14th chapters of Corinthians just to make my doctrine be what it wants to be. I have to read it and hear what it's saying. He says, forbid not to speak in tongues. In the church, I'd rather say 5 words in a language that people understand than 10,000 words that they don't understand. But then he concludes it with, forbid not to speak in tongues. Now he tells you in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians that a man who speaks in tongues is edifying himself. And he's speaking mysteries to God. Now it's amazing how when people hear tongues, they only think one-sided, tunnel vision. All tongues have to be interpreted. No, they don't. Only the ones that are speaking for God. In a church, when you stand up and you speak in a message for God, it has to be interpreted. But when you're just talking to God, God understands all languages. But you're not to bring confusion into church by just praying out to where everybody hears you. Speak to yourself. You understand? You get in your private prayer life. Pray in the Spirit. Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I can tell you this, I pray in the Holy Spirit, I pray in tongues, as people say, every day of my life. But I'm not going to entertain you. You understand? I've had people ask me, are you one of those? I say, one of those what? You know what I mean, Pentecost. I say, no, you tell me what you mean. You speak in tongues. I'm going to make them say it. And I say, yeah. They say, well, do it. I say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to entertain you, and I'm certainly not going to give you any opportunity to just criticize me. You want to be ignorant? Be ignorant. You want to learn? I've got time to teach you. You want to argue? You're at the wrong place, because I'm not going to argue with you 5 seconds. Believe what you want to. If you want to believe a lie, believe a lie. But if you want to know the truth, listen. Is that arrogance? No, I believe Jesus would say the same thing. Actually, He may even call you snakes, vipers, and hypocrites. He's done that before. You with me? It's the people that were rejecting Him that He said that to. And so, there's a lot of people not wanting to embrace the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Well, when I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. Really? Tell me about it. Tell me what Acts 2:38 and 39 says. Tell me what Acts 19 says. Repent. Acts 2:38, repent, number one. Be baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, number two. Then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, number three. You get the baptizer, then the baptism. Paul, meeting those disciples there in Acts 19, he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. You said, well, then what were you baptized into? They said, John's baptism. Well, you hadn't even been saved. So he talked to them about Jesus and got them immersed into the name of Jesus. Then he laid his hands on them and got them baptized in the Holy Spirit. How about Philip in the 8th chapter of Acts, preaching to them there in Samaria? People are being healed. Cripples are walking. People are being baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Then Peter and John come down from Jerusalem and start laying hands on the people to receive the Holy Spirit. So is God confused? No. If you don't believe the Bible, you are. As it's written, not as you interpret it. As it is written. You with me? And so there's people all over the place today rejecting tongues. Well, I don't believe in it. Well, that's not going to stop it from happening. Just because you don't believe truth doesn't do away with truth. You'll believe it eventually. But it may be a little late. You with me? Because truth will always be standing. So we embrace all the gifts. Not just prophecy. Not just tongues and interpretation of tongues. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, miracles, faith. All those are manifestations of the Spirit of God. Now note that they're manifestation. Actually, it's the Greek word phanerosis. If you look that up, it's as the Spirit wills. The Spirit of God manifests that, not you. But praying in tongues, you can do that. But giving a message in tongues has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not you. That requires interpretation. Miracles have to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. You follow me? Jesus always did what he saw his Father do. He made his decisions by what he heard. He never operated independently of God. He didn't just presumptuously go out and minister to people. That's why at the Pool of Bethesda, he only ministered to one man. It says there was a multitude of impotent folk there. Why just one person? At other places, he healed multitudes. He only did what he saw his Father do. And so people so often act presumptuously and they don't get results. And because they don't get results, God's name gets a bad rap. You know, I've been in services and the Lord speak to me about one individual. Well, that's who I can minister to, one individual. It doesn't matter how many is there, the one that God told me. And we're going to get results on that because God said so. But if someone else says, if you'll lay hands on me, I'll be healed. I'll lay hands on you because it's your faith, not mine. And if you truly are making that statement by faith, you'll be healed. You with me? But we can't act presumptuously like so many do. Well, let's just have a prayer line. Everybody in here that's you got any kind of physical problem, just come up here. We're going to lay hands on you. What did God say that? If God said to call the prayer line, call it. But if you're fishing, then a lot of people are going to go to their seat disappointed. Probably most of them. And it gives God a bad name. And so people are saying, well, this stuff doesn't work. And they don't believe in the supernatural because somebody's operated out of order. Let's know the truth. I've had people come up to me and want me to pray a certain way. And I say, I can't pray that way. I don't believe it. If I don't believe it, how am I going to pray in faith? I'll pray what I can believe. Because I really want results, not the impression with some religious prayer. You follow me? This is what's duping people. We're not being honest. We're not being straightforward. And you can't be if you don't know the truth. But you need to know what God says about certain situations. I was ministering in a church one time, and they wanted me to pray for people, and I was praying for people, and this lady came up, and I said, "What would you like for me to pray for?" She said, "Well, pray that the devil leaves me alone." Right. I said, "So you want me to pray for you to die?" And the pastor about fell over when I made that statement. She said, "No, no, no." I said, "Well, the devil didn't leave Jesus alone. What makes you think he's going to leave you alone? I can't pray that." But you know, some people just do it to get people off their back. No, be honest with people. Tell them the truth. I'll guarantee you that person to this day knows that that's not a prayer you can pray. So they're probably not praying for the devil to leave them alone because they know they don't want to die. You follow me? Sometimes it's not just being cantankerous. It's not being funny. It's just being prompted by the Spirit what to say at that time. And that's what I was prompted to say to that lady. Got her attention. But we did minister to her. But not the way she wanted us to. Why? I couldn't believe it. I know it's not going to happen. You follow me? And so we have to learn the truth. We let these gifts of the Spirit operate as He wills, not as I will. And I've heard people say, "Well, I can just manifest the gifts anytime I want to." Well, that's not what the Scriptures are teaching. The Scriptures are teaching it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not me manifesting at my will, but as His will. He prompts. You follow me? And we have to follow the promptings of the Spirit and not tell the Spirit what to do. We let Him tell us. Anytime you see anything, these spiritual gifts operating, and someone comes to you and says, I have a word from the Lord for you," judge it. I don't care who it is. Judge it. And I look at scriptural precedents. Is that something that Jesus would say to me? Does that agree with the Word of God? Operating in the parameters of the Word. And does my spirit bear witness to the Spirit that's speaking? John says, "Try the spirits. Seek their God. All the spirits that speak to you are not God." People say, "Well, I'm inspired to tell you this." Who's inspiring you? I want to know the inspiration behind it. And if the Spirit of God's in me and I'm paying attention, I'll know if it's God. I'll know if it's not God. You follow me? These things have to be judged. God's given us the Holy Spirit. Are we open to the gift that God has given us? A lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit. Or they say, "Well, I got it when I got saved. I got Him when I got saved." Well, he got you. Is He leading you? You leading Him. Who's in the driver's seat? Who calls the shots in your life? You tell Him what you will or won't do, or do you listen to Him and you do what He wants you to do? It doesn't take long to find out who's in charge of your life. It doesn't take long to find out if you're actually filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So, I'm going to have to stop this. There's no way I can get through this. But just understand, I know there's counterfeit. But I know there's truth. And I know there cannot be a counterfeit without a truth. I know, and I've said this before, I know there's counterfeit money out here. But I still use money. And so do you. There's counterfeit things when it comes to the Spirit, but you don't shut off everything to the Spirit just because of there's illegitimate things. Learn the Spirit of truth. Learn the Word of truth, and you won't be deceived by the counterfeit. Amen? All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick back up in this vein. There's still some things we need to know concerning the Holy Spirit. Okay.